So on the line, I want to say good morning. Well, it's actually afternoon over there to Julie. Julie is in London. Julie, good morning. Well, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad it's Friday.
I'm glad it's Friday. Being the mother of two young boys, it can't be easy as a single, well, I say single mother because it's just you and the boys at home most of the time.
Yeah. Well, I'm working from home, so I've got to try and do my full-time hours. And I manage a team of 10 people, homeschool the oldest one, and entertain the youngest one as well.
How do you manage to balance all of that?
We started off strong, 12 weeks ago when we came into this lockdown situation, we started off strong. It's since gone a bit, non-existent. I think educational children's TV is now the teacher. So it just became a battle. They didn't want to study. The little one kept annoying the older one when he's trying to study. But they've just, early year sectors opened up now. Obviously my oldest is 6 and my youngest is 3, so the youngest went back to nursery last week, but they are not open on a Friday because they're doing a deep clean. And the oldest one, he's due to go back to school on Monday, but they're doing short hours. They're only having 10 children in the classroom at any one time, but a lot of parents are not sending their kids back, so they're able to do that at this time and keep them in little bubbles, as they're calling them.
Mm-hmm. Like I guess it works out for you, kind of, since you are working from home.
Yeah. So, I'll be able to drop them both off, and then I'll get about 3 hours of time without any children, 4 days a week, and then I've got to pick up youngest, because he can literally, for half day, he'll be home by 1 o'clock, he'll be home.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've recently started doing an online blog, which basically you speak about your experiences as a mother of the two young boys, and you touch on topical issues. And obviously, the issue beyond COVID-19 that everyone is talking about is Black Lives Matter. You're talking about racism. And even though the events that sparked this last round happened in the US, we see how far-reaching its effects are. And London is no stranger when it comes to racism. What has it been like for you personally as a young, I still call you young because you're my age, a young Black person living in the UK, and what concerns do you have now that you're raising two young Black boys in this environment?
I mean, I've always, even before, Black Lives Matter and everybody started protesting, I've always had concerns about how my children were not going to be viewed as individuals. At the moment, we can go down the road and my kids will see a police officer and get excited, and like, hi, please. And the policeman will be, hi and stop and talk to them. But then there comes a line with Black boys especially, where they're no longer seen as kids. And they're seen as aggressive. So I've always been wary of that and wary of them being able, the little microaggressions that might come about, which, when I was younger and I was growing up, I just thought that how it was supposed to be, but it's not, the comments about, because especially my oldest, he's got a lot of bass in his voice. And I can imagine when he gets older, his voice will be very, very deep, And I've heard people say, been told, you need to try and not have so much bass in their voice. Even when we were naming the children, with my youngest, I got really, really upset with their dad because he gave him, I felt that the name was too Black. I work in the employment sector, so I've seen where if they look at someone's CV and they can't pronounce the name, they'll take the nick out of it and then they'll think, well, I know what their colour they are and I'm not going to interview them. And I didn't want that for my children. I wanted them to be able to have the option that they could, leave that part, at least their second name could be English, so that people won't be able to identify them from their name, because those are things that happen over here. So it was all about knowing that. And I've always told my children, you're going to have to work twice as hard than anybody else, because it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to get judged on the lowest standards of your white counterpart.
Wow.
So, you know, to put in that work and just to try and I've always been trying to give them opportunities because I think as well, yes, it is about racism, but it's about, you know, we are unfit. We have an unfair advantage and a lot of, you know, there's a lot. It's more about like the wealth defined as well and poverty. So if we're in this situation, it's trying to give my children, you know, I'm fortunate I'm in a position where I can give them an opportunity to be able to, you know, go and do martial arts or go and do special study if they want. But not everybody's in that position to try and give them opportunities so they won't necessarily they'll be able to progress a bit better. But it's like, if this is not enough, it's really good. The momentum that everybody's got, friends have been to the protest, and they said the atmosphere is really, really nice. And it's not just black people protesting, it's everybody. And it's an issue for everybody.
It's concerning, it's interesting, it's... you mentioned, you know, their names, and you said you're concerned that as they get older, they're going to be profiled negatively because of the type of name that they have. You know, do you see, and because of all the protests that are going on, do you see the possibility, because, I mean, it seems to be more active than before, the possibility of perhaps a change in the tide, a change in the thinking, you think? Perhaps at this time, or is it too soon to even consider that?
I mean, I hold out hope. And, you know, the biggest thing, I think that in order for protesting is really good because it brings it to the mass attention. It's unfortunate, obviously, the media is a bit biased. So even though most of the protesters, you know, 95% of those protesters are out there, they're protesting, it's calm, it's peaceful, it's a good energy. They're just trying to get a message across. And then a small percentage that do the violence, that's what the news will report on, that small percentage. There was due to be another protest tomorrow afternoon, and I got a message in one of the WhatsApp groups that I'm part of that they've actually decided to postpone it because I think it was the EDL, one of the other farm groups, were going to come and counter-protest because they're like, they're and try and eventually goad people into making it more violent. And what the news would then do is pick up on the fact that black people are out there violently protesting, which is not what the situation is. Mm-hmm. It's like with any situation, any festival, anything you go to, most people go there, have a good time, and then a small amount of people who will cause trouble. But that's what they seem to pick up on this. I think change can happen. I hope. I'm not sure if I'll see it in my lifetime. But when I think back to things like, you know, the bus boycott that they did in America because of the segregation, that wasn't something that just happened. It took them over a year before they then make changes. But I think in order for it to happen, part of it needs to be us coming together with our economic power, because when you mess with people's money, that's when change usually happens quicker.
Mm. Now we've seen the removal of some statues and imagery. And I don't think that's something that we thought we would see in our lifetime. So it seems that, you know, the protests have been bearing some sort of fruit.
Yeah, in that respect, yeah. In the borough that the local authority that I work for, there was a statue in that borough, and my corporate director, she managed, in 2 days, she got that taken down. So, but then the counter from these folk groups is that, well, you know, this is part of our history. And I think as well, when we think about these statues and obviously these British things, and they're talking about black history in schools over here, you don't really learn that. All you learn is history. As far as we're concerned, we were never part of the war. But there's a whole chunk missing. We don't learn about that. It's like they need a whole part of history, but it needs to be that it's included, not just as black history. This is part of British history. Britain had an empire. That empire consisted of, you know, all these other countries and bits under it, and this needs to be brought in as part of our history. So it's taught. So that all kids know, you know, black people weren't displaced. We did fight in the wars. If it wasn't for black people, you know, who came over, we wouldn't have fought. If it wasn't for after the war, when Churchill went to the West Indies and said to everybody, come over and work, you know, you wouldn't have had the workforce to build up afterwards because a lot of these people have died. But all of this is forgotten. Mm-hmm. So I think that, things like that, will help bring change. It has to start, if you have those conversations with the younger generation now and they can see that, then they can grow up and think, okay, they can challenge when it, you know, they see something that's not right. They'll be there to create the opportunities, because we can't do it on our own. It has to be a unity. But that's what I love about the protest, is it isn't just black people. It's all races are out there saying that black lives matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, and you have the involvement of so many different people, what do you think the future holds for your sons? Are you overly concerned? Because you said, obviously, you're teaching them certain things. You're aware of how the system is now. What are you saying to them, even at this young age?
I mean, we do. I talk about race, especially with the older one. And I have said to him, you know, even at the age of 6, there will be some people that won't like you because of the colour of your skin. Because I think it's important, he knows that. And we've got a few books which we read about showing the differences in people, but even though they're different, they're the same. And I think, I just always say, you can't, like, if he has some sort of white friend who's doing something and it's not necessarily a good choice they're making, I have to remind him to be mindful that you can't necessarily do the same thing as that person. Because the way that you might be treated is going to be different from that how that white person is doing it. Mm-hmm. Because there's still the standards there. I think it's going to take, you know, this stuff is ingrained in people. It's learnt behaviour. And it's going to take a long time to get people to reprogram and have those. And a lot of people don't want to have those difficult conversations. You know, we had a conversation in my workplace. We had we've got a network, a BME network, and we had a big network meeting. We didn't even have enough time, and it was a difficult conversation we were having. It wasn't just black people, it was all people that are involved in the network talking about us, from how they're supporting the employees, things that can happen, you know, that's about what's going on, what's doing to protect as well black people, as we've got to go back to work now in the workplace from COVID, because we're more likely to die from it than other races. So things like that were coming up, but I still get a little bit, I do still be concerned, because it's not going to be an overnight thing. Talk to me in a year and see how much more progress is made, and then we'll see.
All right, well, you know what? It's a lot more than I think I was expecting to see in my lifetime, and I'm happy to see certain things are happening. I'm wishing all the best for you and your two boys. If you want to share your blog spot, where can we find it?
It's mummyrooandree.com.
Mummy.
Just put mummyrooandri.com.
All right. Well, Julie, thank you very much. I think that's young Ree that's trying to get your attention, so you need to get back to him. So thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you. Take care. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.